Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
All the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the adoration belong to you. We bless you and give you glory this morning. Thank you, Father, that you inhabit the praises of your people. And thank you that because this gathering is unto you, we have that assurance that you're here and present with us. We ask, oh God, that you will speak to us and touch us this morning through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap. A big hand clap to Jesus. Like the way, or even better than the way you will applaud when your football team wins. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. You may be seated. And those of you who sat down before I asked you to sit down, may the Lord forgive you your trespasses. All right. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read from verse 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are reading from verse 1 to verse 12. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food. And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Everybody say, oh. Next verse. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Can you read verse 12 with me? Ready? Go. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God is the response. Today, I am very determined to finish my series on Don't Get Used to It, Don't Accept It. So this is the last and final part. And this is part 6 of that important message. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now, this scripture that I read is a sad scripture, because it's talking about how many of the people who were part of the Exodus from Egypt to the promised land did not make it at the end of the day. The Bible says that many of them died in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, all the old people of a certain age upwards apart from Caleb and Joshua, everybody else died in the wilderness. It was their children, the little ones, who made it at the end of the day. And the Bible says that God was not pleased with many of them. If you study the life and the history of the people of Israel, you can identify many things that they did wrong. And their story is a story of a bad cycle of God bringing them to rest. Then they will rebel. Then they would repent. Then God will redeem them. And then they'll go back again. So that became the cycle that seemed to characterize their life and their history. Now, because of the experience that they had of God and the encounter that they had of Him, the presence of God and the power of God that was with them, things shouldn't have gone the way they went. Their story should have been better, and their story should have been nicer. Because you and I, who are serving God today, do not have, in a certain sense, the kind of experience or clear physical manifestation of God's power and presence. And you must understand what I'm saying in a certain sense. What I mean is that if you take a look at them, the people of Israel, they had a pillar of cloud leading them as they traveled along in the day, and then a pillar of fire following them, leading them as they traveled in the night. That pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire were indications, physical manifestations of the glory and the presence of God with them. They saw what God did to the Egyptian army that was swallowed up in the Red Sea because they made the mistake of walking on a road that had just been newly constructed road through the Red Sea. And they all drowned. They saw it. God provided for them, gave them special heavenly bread. Manna, it fell from heaven. When they were tired of the carbohydrates and they said they wanted protein, He caused birds to drop in their camp and they ate to their satisfaction. When they were thirsty, water came out of a rock to quench their thirst. They saw how God defeated their enemies one after the other. But all these things, alas, did not seem to make much of a difference. And they missed it and made a lot of mistakes. And in this series, we have been trying to study for some weeks now one of the, if not the main reason why all these things happened. And it is because they got used to things that they shouldn't have gotten used to. And they accepted things that they shouldn't have accepted. The Bible says that everything that happened to them is an example to us so that we do not repeat the mistakes that they made. One of the sad lessons that history teaches us is that we do not learn from history. That's one of the main lessons that history teaches us, that we do not learn from history. Because after the First World War and the devastation that took place, you would have thought that nations will never gather again to fight each other. But after the First World War in 1918, the Second World War came in 1939. And since then, there have been many more wars. The Ukraine-Russian war is going on. Mercifully for us, it hasn't deteriorated to the level of a world war. But we are walking a thin line. It's a very thin line. Because the whole narrative can change. Then there's what's going on in the between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And then now another complex dimension is being added. Because now Israel, well, they've declared a truce now. But nobody knows how long it's going to hold for. And particularly the Israeli-Iranian one is very, very dicey. Because nuclear weapons can be deployed. All it takes is a madman. That's all it takes. And actually, all the wars that have been fought, the wars that have had the greatest devastation in this world, they were initiated by madmen who looked normal. And I think that people who start wars and all of that, because I tell you, if your mind is working well, there are some battles that you will not fight. Ask the person sitting by you, Charlie, how? That's all I asked you to ask. I didn't add anything. I said, just ask the person, Charlie, how? Yeah, so the person must understand the question that you are asking that you are not asking. Amen. So the Bible says that all these things that happen to the people of Israel are to serve as examples to you and I. Because they are Israel in the flesh, the people of God in the flesh, in that sense. And we are the people of God in the spirit. We are the spiritual Israel. So there are lessons to draw from everything that they went through. And what we are trying to do through this series is to look at ourselves and examine our lives critically. Is it possible that there are some things that we have accepted that we shouldn't accept? Is it possible that as we journey on through this life, there are some things that we have gotten used to, or we are getting used to, that we shouldn't get used to? And we've looked at a number of them. Let's run through them. What's the first one, please? Sin and evil is the first one we talked about, that we should not get used to that. Then the second one, wickedness. We must not get used to wickedness. What's the third one? Bondage and abuse. We must not get used to bondage and abuse. The next, manipulation and control, where you are being influenced in an unfair manner or in a wrong way, or you're being dominated in a bad way. You must not get used to that in your life. Next one, worldliness and unspirituality. That is, you love the world too much, more than the way you love God or the things of God. That means that your focus is on pleasure, appearance, status, material possessions, and what have you. As a child of God, you must not get used to that. Amen. Next one. Unfruitfulness and lack of productivity. So it means that when we look at your spiritual life in particular, your character, your service to God and to other people, we don't see any growth. We don't see any good results. We don't see any impact. When that happens, it means you are unfruitful and you are not productive in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And that is the story of many of us as Christians. We are not fruitful. We are not productive. And it feels very normal. We've accepted it and it's okay with us. Number seven, negativity and wrong thinking. Negativity and wrong thinking. So if you are a negative person, we see certain things about it. You are constantly complaining, constantly grumbling, constantly murmuring, always expecting the worst to happen. You see faults in everything and in everyone. You are very critical, but not in a constructive way. You doubt good intentions. You dismiss encouragement. You spread a lot of fear and hopelessness. Anybody who is like that is negative. And you can have that sort of mind where you always see the dim side of things and you're very negative. And you know, there's a lot of negativity in our country. Yes, a lot of negativity. One of the clear ways I can show you is that Now, even though the economy has improved, has the economy improved? Yes, it has. You see, some of you, you can't even respond. That's the negativity that I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because what else do you want to see? The city till $1 is equal to one CD, you will not give credit to anybody. Yes, that's a sign of negativity. Yes, the CD is doing better. Inflation has greatly reduced. And there are many different things that we can point to. But what you find in this country, maybe it also depends on whether your party is in power or not. So for those whose party is in power, it's like it's working. Forcing is forcing. Atu is forcing. Atu is forcing. Yes. Then those on the other side are saying that it's not working. They say what we are seeing is not real. That we should give it some time. It is because no troubles have come. You see, that is negativity. And those of you who have buried yourself in this political party, and please pardon my language, this political party nonsense. To the extent that the only thing that controls you is your political party. And a lot of Ghanaians are more committed to their political party than they are to the nation. And it's all part of their negativity. And if you have a lot of negativity, your life will not pan out well, I'm telling you. So don't get used to it. So watch yourself, and realize that, so because Sempe, I'm always looking at the bad side of it. They can't say, so, oh, Nyamie Shramio, me be worry. Say, hey! Awariye! Then they'll say to you, don't know. Why? You tell somebody that, oh, I have this business idea. I'm going to start it. Hey! Wamu bekun? Wufie nye? Wamu bekun? But in other places, when you come up with an idea, they'll tell you, go for it. You can do it. Yes, you can. That's what they do. But other places, no. Tell them that you kill yourself. We are peninsem. We are too known. Ni aye nye ye. And our person wo ye. We mu bekun. Bebiya wona tena hosa. Mensem bebiya. That is negativity. Tell the person sitting by, from today, I'm driving that spirit out of you. Tell the person, take it one. Take it two. Take it three. Tell the person, you are loose. You are free. In Jesus' name, clap unto the Lord and bless his name. What's the next one? Don't accept poverty. Don't accept lack. Don't accept bad circumstances. And the next, don't get used to sickness and bad health. And please, no matter how long you've struggled with a particular ailment or sickness for, don't ever call it my thing. Don't say my hypertension has come. My ulcer has come. My worms have come. What else has come? My migraine has come. My migraine has come. What else has come? My asthma has come. Don't get used to a bad situation to do with your health and complicate things by calling it my own. Because whatever you are laying claim to, it will be very difficult for you to be delivered from it. If you say it is yours, anybody who is trying to help you will feel that I'm stealing from you something that is dear to you. So tell your neighbor, don't get used to sickness. And don't get used to bad health. And listen to me. No matter how long you may have struggled with a particular health situation for, always have hope and believe that it can be better. Sometimes, what will make it better is to use wisdom to deal with the situation. And if you have to take medication to control a particular health situation, take it. There are some of you also, you like medicine too much. That one is also another problem. Every small thing, you are taking a bomb belt. Every small thing, you are taking antibiotics. No, you also can't do that. Because like they say, too much of everything is bad. But sometimes, what you need is to be on some medication. And there's some medication that you may be on for a while. And if you're believing God for miraculous healing, you know, you should still use wisdom. That's all I'm saying to you. There's an elderly man that I know. He used to be in this church. I discovered that he had high blood pressure. And I asked him that, are you taking your medication? He said, no. He hasn't taken his medication for a long time. I asked him why. And he said, what is happening to him is an attack. That means it's a spiritual attack. And he explained to me that they are trying to kill him. So I asked him that, what are they trying to kill you for? There must be a reason why they are trying to kill you. He said, they want to take my land and my house. I looked at the land. And then I looked at the house for which they were trying to. He said, they are trying to kill me. And he showed me. I didn't say anything to him, but I thought it, that they are trying to kill you because of this. I tried to get him to be serious, and one of the days I actually told him that if he calls me again to come and do whatever, I won't come unless he goes to the hospital, and I was prepared to fund it and everything. I think he was offended by what I said. So from that time, he never came to church again. The long and short of it is that he died. He didn't make it. I don't know all things, but I feel that perhaps he would still be with us if he had used a bit more wisdom in handling the situation. So I'm saying to you that don't get used to certain things. And if it even means that you have to seek medical assistance for certain situations, don't feel that you are not spiritual or that you don't have faith because of that. Look, I must tell you two things. Number one, all the breakthroughs in medical science, the knowledge and all of those things. It is God who gave them. God is the source of all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So for all the breakthroughs that we've had, it is God who gives. And in the Bible, there are examples of people undergoing medical treatments. Then the last important thing that I want to say to us is this. That you must understand that even with the medication that you are taking, it is God who makes it work. It is God who makes it work. Which is why even if you are on medication, as you are taking it, as you are taking the medication, keep praying. Pray before you take it. Pray before you start using it. Don't leave out the faith element, because there are different levels of faith. That's another sermon for another day. Let's move on. Is that the last one I shared with you? That's the last one. Okay, let's finish. The next thing that we shouldn't accept and get used to is a kind of big English word, but you can add it to your vocabulary. The word is mediocrity. What's saying, Mediocrity. It is spelled M-E-D-I-O-C-R-I-T-Y. M for Momoni, E for Emani, D for Domedo, I for Inchini. Is Inchini, do you spell it with I or N? Okay, continue. Mediocrity. So what is this word? Mediocrity is a lifestyle where you settle for less than your best. Where you are okay with being ordinary, average, or lukewarm. I'll say it again. Mediocrity is a lifestyle where you settle for less than your best. You settle for less than your best. It's a lifestyle where you are okay with being ordinary, average, or lukewarm. You don't see any problem with it. You are ordinary, you are average, you are lukewarm. You tell yourself that it is okay. That is what it means to be mediocre. You know, the chief enemy of greatness is mediocrity. This lifestyle where you settle for ordinary, for average, is the number one reason why you may not amount to anything much in this life. Because you must understand, my friends, that you are a carrier of a great assignment and destiny. And God has a great plan and purpose concerning your life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but as it is written, New King James Version, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Can you continue reading with me? Ready, go. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many love the Lord? You love the Lord. So the Bible is saying that God has prepared great things. It doesn't say great things, but what should let you see that the things which God has prepared for those who love him are great is the first part where it says that I have not seen. Enihunye. Asoso entiye. Enyenwura akumem. That cannot be referring to ordinary things. There are great things expected of you. As you are listening to me today, you are the one who is supposed to change the lot of your family. You are the one who is supposed to be the shining star of your family.
telling you something. Perhaps in your head you are saying, me? Yes, you.
When children used to play a game, oh, me? Yes, you. It couldn't be, then who?
It is you. It is you.
You see, you've limited and restricted yourself for too long. And you have gotten used to ordinariness and being average. You've accepted it. You've gotten used to it. So now what is happening is that great destiny that God has drawn up for you is under threat. It may easily not happen. It may not happen, but I'm telling you that there is greatness drawn up for you. There is. Because you are not an ordinary person. Bible says you are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the peculiar people. Bible says you've been called to show forth the praises of him who has translated you from darkness into light. That's your destiny. You've been lied to for too long. And guess what? You've accepted things that you shouldn't accept. Tell the person sitting by you, tell another person. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Reading from the New King James Version. It pleased Darius, who was the king of the Mede and Persian kingdom, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. Give me the New Living Translation. Satrap ni abwade. Okay, provinces. Provinces. Okay, go back. To set over the kingdom 120 provinces, to be over the whole kingdom. No. It's like leaders. 120 leaders to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps, the rest of them, might give account to these three, so that the king would suffer no loss. Now look at the next thing that he says. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. How did he distinguish himself? Say that again with me. Because an excellent spirit was in him. The opposite of excellence is mediocrity. That's the opposite. And the Bible is saying that Daniel distinguished himself because an excellent spirit was in him. Today I prophesy over your life and I quicken an excellent spirit inside of you. Shall I receive it 3 times? 2, 3. Your life will be distinguished from this time onwards because an excellent spirit has been quickened in you from this day onwards. Hallelujah. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. NIV. I like to switch Bibles. It says, your NIV is different from my NIV. But it says, but since you excel in everything, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So in this scripture, Paul is charging us that in everything that we are trying to do, we should excel in it. We must seek for excellence in every critical area or dimension
of our lives. And we must not settle for mediocrity. So when you are becoming mediocre, what are some of the signs? You don't give your best effort in school, at work, or in ministry. If you are settling for mediocrity, you don't give your best effort in school, at work, or ministry. Why? Your parents have paid a lot of money to take you to school. And you've told yourself that as you are writing an exam, I don't want a lot of marks. If I can only get 52%, I am okay. Do you understand what I'm describing to you? You have gone to write an exam and your target is 52%. So you tell yourself, I just need a D. That's all I need. Okay. That's mediocrity. A few weeks ago, I called the daughter of one of our church members to my office. And I sat her down. And I said to her that your mother tells me that you are very brilliant. But it's like you don't like learning. And you seem to be getting away with it. Because when you write exams, you get a good mark. And I was explaining to her that you're making a mistake. And you can distort your future and your destiny because of that thing. Why do you want to accept 75 when you can get 90? Why? So I really talked to her. I told her that, look, the competition these days is very wild. And I don't think that your parents are planning to save money to go and, bribe anybody or to pay for you to be admitted into a particular secondary school of their choice. Get there by merit. Get there by making the best grades. Be the top. Why do you want to be down? Why do you want to be down? So when I asked her, have you heard the word mediocrity before? She started smiling. She said, no. And I took my time to explain it to her. And that's what it is. You settle. You don't give your best at anything that you're doing, whether at work, whether at school. You are the one who has been insulting the people who are doing their best at the workplace. The problem is not with them. The problem is who? Say me. Another sign that you are settling for mediocrity, you avoid challenges and you take shortcuts. You avoid challenges and you take shortcuts. If you are like that, there's a problem with you. Especially people who are in a haste to be rich. The heights which great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight. When you see somebody high up on the ladder of success and excellence, the person didn't jump like this. It is well. So like this, I'll say that my kotoje has come. My kotoje has come. Hey. Shout outs to kotoje. I have a friend be called kotoje. The Lord bless you, my friend. It will not be easy for me after this service. Eesh.
So you avoid challenges and you take shortcuts. Another sign that you're settling for mediocrity, you compare yourself only to people who are doing less. Do you understand that? So, all of you wrote the exam. In a class of 40 people, 10 did very well. 30 did not do well. Now, you are going around asking your classmates how they fared. So when you finish, you do a tally. You are doing a tally to see where did you fall, and then you realize that, oh, I was in the 30 that didn't do well, and tell yourself that, oh, say, no. No, you shouldn't be happy. You should be sad because you are comparing yourself with the wrong people. You are using the wrong standard. Rather, you should look for the 10 who excelled and tell yourself that by the grace of God, I will rise up to that level. Why are you companying with failures? That's why you have to watch the people you surround yourself with. So if you realize that in your life around you are people who haven't made it, people who haven't succeeded, people who don't seem to be going anywhere, and you feel okay, that's a problem. It means that you have settled for mediocrity. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. And this is God's word to us. New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Whatever you do, what must you do? Do well. Whatever you do, do well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. So in this life, whatever you do, how must you do it? And that means you must excel in anything that you are trying to do in this life. Hallelujah. So don't settle for mediocrity. I think I've told you this story before. This guy who came to his pastor and was full of praises, thanksgiving, and worship to the Lord. Told his pastor that, Pastor, God has been good to me. You know how they do the testimony thing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this guy was looking for accommodation. He told his pastor that God has made a way where there seems to be no way. What is the way that God has made? Said, I've been looking for accommodation for months. Everyone that I find, my money doesn't reach. And then God being so good, that they like using expressions like that. God being so good, the Spirit of God led me. And I met this landlord. He had a place. And when I checked it, it was okay. He said, Pastor, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. The rent, it's only 30 Ghana cedis a month. Then this is the wild one. He said, when I heard that it's only 30 Ghana cedis, I paid for 10 years. Do you understand? Yes. He has paid the rent for 10 years. So what you are saying is that for the next 10 years, there's no progress. I will marry, bring my wife here, bring my son, my daughter, we'll all live here.
because 30 Ghana cedis rendia mean tibida e yanyame and a beer panyamami. What say asotro?
That's what you deserve.
That's a picture of somebody who doesn't have any vision. Is not seeking to excel at anything. It's like you are satisfied with where you are.
Sad things will never be said about you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey, John Awanyo, this will be your dear you.
The next thing that you mustn't accept and settle for is failure and things not working. Don't get used to it. Don't accept failure and things not working. Don't accept it. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, the godly may trip seven times. Which is like saying they failed. All right? The godly may trip seven times. But what will happen to them? But they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Now, the fact that they keep getting up again means something. What does it mean? It means that they did not get used to their failure. So it's like they may fall, but they get up. They may fail, but they rise up. They may be down, but they rise up. They don't accept it. They don't get used to it. So don't accept failure. And don't accept things that are not working. Don't get to a place in your life where you experience yet another failure and you tell yourself that I don't get up again. That's it. And tell yourself that what is the use of getting up? Because minim say yet denya mess up of him. I want dear me de be pajama hono. Asa it is a menya to femwa and dear mother. Yeah. Don't get used to it. You know, I read this statement somewhere. It has stayed with me. It says that this thing that we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. What we call failure is not that you fell down or you failed at something. The failure is the fact that you did not rise up from where you fell. That's what failure is. And any time in your life when you realize that I'm getting used to failure and I'm accepting it, I'll give you two exercises to do. Go and look for a light bulb. Light bulb. Look for a light bulb. And then stand under it. Now, you see, as you see, chest out. And then look at the light. Then let this name come to your mind. Thomas Edison. Thomas why? Ebium. 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 Thomas Edison. Always remember that name. He is the one who came up with this light bulb concept. And he made a statement. He said, and before he was successful finally, he tried so many times and it didn't work. So many times. And his response to the question of why did you fail so many times before you succeeded? He said, I did not fail. I discovered 10,000 ways that something doesn't work. That's the discovery I made. I didn't fail. I just discovered 10,000 times that something doesn't work. So I'm saying to you, anytime you realize in your life that I'm accepting failure, I'm accepting things not working, my business is not working, the marriage is not working, the ministry is not working, and my finances are not working. Anytime you realize that I'm getting used to it, I said, go and look for a light bulb and stand under it and mention what name. That's all. If you don't like that one, then for those of you who like food, go and look for the nearest KFC. Okay? Go and stand there. you see and eat some. If you can afford, eat. But you can afford it in Jesus' name. Open chain, quine chain, and money, you do do it. I can't say check, check. Say, can't say, do. Now, when you get to a KFC joint, there's one at Ashaman, there's one at Community 11, and they are spread all over. Until there, when you feel that you are getting used to feel, I would get to quine. Go there, go and stand there. When you go there, you will see on their display board, the KFC display board, you see the picture of an old man. His name was Colonel Harland Sanders. That's him. Okay? He was 60 years old when he decided that he wanted to do something better with his life. And what did he have? A little recipe for preparing chicken that his mother or grandmother gave to him. Secret recipe. And up to today, it's still a trade secret. Oh my God, they can't find everything that goes into that thing. Or even if they can, the mixture proportion, they can't get it. It's a trade secret. So he decided that I'm going to see whether I can find somebody like a restaurant that I can partner with. It's like, I'll give you my special secret recipe, and whatever sales you made out of the chicken, a percentage should come to me. He went to more than 1,000 places. Everywhere you were, they said, no. No. No, we don't like. We are not interested. How many times? 1,000. 1,000 is a lot. 1,000. But he didn't give up. He only broke through the 1,008th effort. He passed 100, 200, 300, 500, 700, 800, 1,000, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,008th effort. That is when he found somebody who said, I'll work with you. And that was the beginning of his breakthrough. So even though he kind of failed in that sense more than 1,000 times, he didn't accept it. What would you and I have done? After how many times? I ain't three. Hey, some of us are like that and say, won't pa faho. Me dear and dear, much remo home. Me the madia ba say, Bwamina, yen your business. And I was saying, when ya faho, try on quiet to do. No, you don't do that. He kept at it. So don't get used to it. Failure of any kind. Spiritual failure, secular failure, ministry failure, financial failure. Don't get used to it. Don't just accept it. Don't get used to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God is speaking to us about all these things to help us to really position ourselves well so that the things that I had not seen and ear has not heard, the things that haven't entered into the hearts of men concerning you, God is watching out keenly for you and I to position ourselves well so that that greatness, that excellence that he has drawn up for you, you will accomplish it and you will achieve it, and that you will get to where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Don't get used to anything that is negative. And don't get used to anything that distorts God's purpose for your life. Stand strong. Stand firm. Tell yourself it's not over until it's over. Resist every effort and every attempt from any quarters to make you give up on your dreams, on your aspirations, and on the great destiny that God has drawn up for you. And I want to say to somebody today that the failure or the disappointments and the frustrations may have happened over and over and over and over again, but learn to stabilize yourself and strengthen yourself. Press on, forge ahead,
Because what God has said concerning you, by the grace of God, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet and let's close. Every hand lifted to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. He is able. He's more than able to accomplish what concerns me today. Oh, He is able. He's more than able. He can handle anything that comes my way. He is able. Lift your hands to the Lord. More than able to do much more than I could ever dream. One more time. He's able, He's able, He is able,
more than able
to accomplish what concerns me today. Oh yeah,
today
I know about my God.
He's able,
He's able, so much more. He's a God of impossibilities.
He can handle.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. God bless you and thank you very much for coming to church today. I believe that you've heard the word of God and God has spoken to you. But there's a very important issue that you must address today, which is the issue to do with your salvation, your eternal destiny. Question: have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you born again? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? You must not let another day pass by until you take the greatest decision of your life. Maybe you're watching me right now in this live stream, or maybe you're watching the video later, but God is speaking to you. And it's the same question that He's throwing to you who is watching. Is Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Today, Bible says when you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus into your heart. And I guarantee you that it will turn your life around for the better. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Maybe somebody invited you to church and everything, but you know that God is speaking to you. Just lift up your hand very clearly. That's basically what I'm going to ask you to do. Do that. And if you're watching me, do that also right there in your room. I can't see you, but God can see you. God bless you, my friend. Now, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. For the rest of my life, I will serve Jesus. I will follow Him. Thank you, Father,
for hearing my prayer. I give you the glory, the honor, the praise, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.